Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live, and we have a very inspirational show this morning. How many of you have dreams or goals that you want to see happen? I think that's what kind of makes life interesting is dreams, things that we want to do, and the hope that those dreams could come true. The film we're talking about today, Simply Magical, is about this amazing theater troupe of mostly disabled actors. My wife and I saw the film at the Lemley Theater, and we were just so inspired because I live in Los Angeles, and here in Hollywood, 90% of the people you meet on any given day have a creative dream, a script in their drawer that they want to see made into a movie or an aspiration to do something creatively. But the vast majority don't follow through. They're not artistic killers who execute and finish the project. So, you know, everybody, that and a couple dollars will get you a cup of coffee. But here in this documentary, Simply Magical, director Darla Ray showed this troupe of performers that are in wheelchairs, performers suffering debilitating disabilities and illnesses that have banded together and just sell out the house show after show doing these wonderful plays. And I left the theater, my reaction, one of my first thoughts was, what excuse does anyone else have? Here's people in wheelchairs dancing and twirling in their wheelchairs on stage, and you know, people even with vocal impediments that are up there singing their hearts out, giving their gifts. So this will really inspire you today as we come back in about 30 seconds with director of Simply Magical, Darla Ray. And we'll be back shortly on Richard Rossi Live. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, and welcome Darla Ray, director of Simply Magical.
Hey Richard, how are you? Good to be with you guys in Los Angeles from Denver, Colorado.
Wow, Denver, Colorado, I'm thinking of Robin Williams passing. That was in Boulder, though, Mork and Mindy house. How far are you from there?
It's about maybe 40 minutes north of me.
Have you been to the house there? Have you been to the house
there? Oh,
yeah, they got a memorial memorial growing there for him.
Yeah, big memorial there. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a great talent that we're all going to miss his amazing work.
Yeah. Well, speaking of great talent, this Simply Magical film, my wife and I really enjoyed it. It's really from the heart. And how did you get involved with – well, why don't you tell us about this incredible – Magic Moments, the name of the theater troupe?
Magic Moments is the nonprofit organization, and they've been in existence for 31 years, going on their 32nd year. And I got involved because some friends of mine have been involved in being supportive and being in the shows, and their kids have grown up in the shows. And so they wanted somebody that understood theater, musical theater, and had a connection with disabilities to come and produce their DVD of their show every year so that the people in the show actually get an opportunity to see themselves. And so I've been watching it for over 10 years now and really have the opportunity to watch the audiences and how they're impacted and that they don't want to leave at the end of the show. They just don't want to leave because they've become a part of something that is so magical, like nothing else you've ever seen or felt. There's just this tremendous energy and buzz that happens, and they just hang out. And I thought, oh, wow, this is something that we need to share with the world. And so we spent several months documenting this, and over the last 5 years that I've been doing their shows, you know, seeing all the footage that we have, and I said, people need to know about this, and other people need to have the opportunity in other cities to do this. We really want to help raise awareness for Magic Moments. It's a struggle financially for them to put the show on every year. With over 300 volunteers between the cast members, 200 cast members, and 100 support staff volunteers. And it just, you know, you saw the documentary. It's hard to put 31 years into a 39-minute documentary, but we were able to accomplish it. And I hope that it will, you know, catch fire and spread across the country and around the world, and people will consider doing something similar to this in their own city. And, you know, we're trying to work on that as well to try to help people duplicate it.
Did you have a personal relationship or friendship with someone who was disabled prior to this, or was this new for you to be involved in this community? Or?
Well, here's the thing. I have a nephew who was born with several disabilities, and, you know, I made a documentary about his life story, I thought, and then it turned into that there were numerous families across the country that have children born with Dandy Walker syndrome, and which is similar. It's put under the labeling of autism on the autism spectrum disorder. So, you know, I have that connection. But I also, growing up, one of my friend's sisters, she had Down syndrome. Back when they used to call people mongoloid with it, and so I had a connection to disability at a young age. I also grew up in the neighborhood with Rocky Dennis from the film that you've seen with Cher, Mask. And so, you know, I had a connection to disability. My first feature film was with wheelchair rugby athletes that had spinal cord injury and traumatic brain injuries. So over the course of my career as a filmmaker, all of those things in my life at a young age and exposure in my family, I have probably a broader understanding of what it is to live with disabilities. And that's really how it came about.
When you first saw, do you remember when the first time you saw this troupe, Magic Moments, perform, the very first time, what were you feeling?
You know, here's the thing. For me, I watched the audience, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, you were smiling, but yet you had these tears that just welled up from. I mean, it just came from the bottom of your soul. I mean, you're speechless, and it's like, you know, like you said, okay, I want to make movies. I have no excuse. I have both legs and both arms and everything, and I can go do it. So it's about, you know, following your dream and doing what it is you want to do. And the folks in Magic Moments, I mean, they rise to the occasion. The director, KQ, always says, you know, you tell him, here's where the bar is. He treats everybody the same. It's a level playing field. And, you know, he gives great admiration and respect for the people with disabilities, but yet it's not only about the people with disabilities. It's about the young, shy girl who is petrified but is brave enough to come in there and stand on the X and do her audition to be a part of this big connection. And that's what the Magic Moments, it's more than theater. It's this connection and people having relationships. You know, that's what it's all about. And it's evident in the productions when you see them.
Well, all of you actors out there know that fear of auditioning, that fear of rejection, of will they like me? And this film will really inspire you to see these folks push through all this stuff. The website is simplymagicaldocumentary.com, simplymagicaldocumentary.com. It did screen.
And the actual title, just so you know, is Simply Magical, Tearing Down Walls, because basically it is about all of us tearing down the walls of those things that make us fearful. And once we're able to tear the wall down briefly, we're able to rise above that fear and actually achieve our dreams and our goals.
Yeah, I heard a saying, feel the fear and do it anyways, because sometimes even those of us performing for a long time still have that fear. It's still, I mean, Judy Garland used to, you know, throw up before she'd sing, one of the greatest entertainers of all time. And
sure, Elvis Presley too, the same thing.
Yeah. Speaking of Elvis, this week on Thursday we're having Ginger Alden on, who was his fiancée at the time of his death, and her book, verifies what you're saying, just the things that he went through emotionally and personally,
yes,
in addition to being such
and
a great
entertainer. And I think most performers have some sort of anxiety. I know for me, I pace. Before I go on stage, I pace. Before I go in front of the camera, if I'm an actor, I pace. Everybody has something that they're fearful about. But it's a matter of just, like, do it. If you're afraid, go do it.
Feel the fear and do it anyways. You know, one
Absolutely.
Thing that I had a misconception that I don't know, for whatever reason, it was really interesting to me was the fact that I started watching the film. My assumption was, based on some of the first people I met, that these folks were born with, and many of them were born with their disability. But it was really interesting to me also that people forget some folks, you know, have something happen later in life. You know, my best friend in high school was a star athlete, football, basketball, mm-hmm. but his accident that made him a quadriplegic happened, you know, when he was older, when he was 15. And you had a similar story.
Yes.
That guy was a football star
Ed
in
Reinhardt.
College. Yeah.
Yes, Ed Reinhardt
yeah.
Jr. He was a football star at CU Boulder. And second game of his sophomore year, first play, he caught a pass and he was tackled. And, you know, they said that his head hit the ground and the pad on the guy's leg that tackled him. And it kind of stunned him, and he got up and he walked to the sidelines. Well, then he collapsed because he had a blood clot that nobody knew he had a blood clot. And, he threw himself into his rehabilitation in the same manner that he did as an athlete. But, you know, he will understand everything that you're trying to say to him, and he understands perfectly clear, but he can't get the words out necessarily to answer you back 100% of what the question is you're answering, because you may have to make things in his memory. And as you see in the documentary, the speech that he gives was something he had to memorize about his life story. But when he gets on stage, I mean, he just lights up. He loves to sing. He loves to perform. He loves the camaraderie with the other actors, and the audience loves him. And, he has some paralysis on the one side and then the memory issue. But he's out there doing it. So nobody has an excuse, because he went through hell, you know, to basically, he had to crawl for several months first. Think of this. As a sophomore in college, he had to learn to crawl, and then he had to learn to walk all over again.
Starting all over. And he gave this eloquent speech about what he'd been through, and then we found out at the end he had to memorize it. Is that because he has problems in the moment processing, hearing, and responding?
Yes. He hears it fine, and he understands it. The problem is, what he wants to respond, it doesn't come out. It comes out mixed up or you know, only partially of what he's trying to say. So he does give that speech that he gives in the film. He goes around and he speaks with his father for speaking engagements. So,
oh, that's powerful.
He's used to being in front of people because, you know, he does that on a regular basis. It's just a matter of, you know, it's frustrating for him because he is frustrated. He knows what you're saying, what you're asking. He just can only get maybe one or two word answers out at a time, unless you take him and create what you're trying to do right now, making that part of his memory.
Well, it is a magical experience to see these folks dancing in their wheelchairs. The one girl said that someone approached her. She was dancing, spinning in her wheelchair, and said, "You've shown me that I can dance." Do you remember that story?
Yes. It's a great story. And I asked her one of her favorite stories. It's Hannah Bomber. And a couple came up to her afterwards and said, "Thank you for showing us that we can dance again." Because the wife had been in an accident and was paralyzed, and so their life had stopped as they knew it. So her thing is, well, if you have a heartbeat, you can dance.
That's right. You know, we
Pretty
have
powerful.
that God-given rhythm. And we're having some great reaction to your film. Here's some reaction from people that have seen the film.
And I just got done seeing It makes me feel very happy and proud to know that I'm from a state that provides a program for disabled and able people to perform together in the entertainment industry. It is such a rarity and a gem, and to see it finally being highlighted in a big screen makes me really happy. And I couldn't be prouder for Darla Rae. She put it together really well, and it's this beautiful story. So go see it. You'll like it.
Could you hear that okay?
Yeah, that was great. It's really wonderful to that the audience is having that kind of a reaction. So
yeah, and
you know,
let's hear from
a guy.
Let's hear from a male here in addition to me.
Okay.
I just saw the premiere of Simply Magical Tearing Down Walls. My good friend Darla directed it, Darla Rae. And, you know, I went into it and I saw all these people with disabilities trying to do what I do every day as an actor, all the things I want to do. And, you know, at first I thought it was cute, but then I stopped seeing the disabilities about 10 minutes in, and I got really inspired because I saw all these people honestly trying to do what I do and working just as hard, and it was really cool. I would go see it again in a heartbeat.
I like that.
Yeah, you know, it's nice that I think, you know, the nice thing is that the film speaks volumes to different generations and different demographics, because at some point in our life, we've all been an underdog, and I think that the film will help people to go, wow, you know what, whatever my dream is, I need to get out there and do it.
You know, another thing, too, when I see these two able-bodied actors that just spoke, Roe and Bradley, right? And Brad said, you know, here they are doing what I do as an actor, able-bodied, and they're doing the same thing. But as he was speaking, it occurs to me that, you know, all of us who act or do something creative, which I guess is every human being, I believe every human being is created in God's image to be creative, but we all, in a sense, have some disability. I mean, the one in the wheelchair, you can see that disability. But, you know, some of us, it's things going on in our head or
right. Maybe
something in the area of emotional or mental health. And we all have these things to overcome, you know, even if it isn't apparent, really, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, and that's the interesting thing. One of the things that I personally was faced with in doing the documentary is that you're in a group, you know, you're in this big rehearsal space, and you're not really sure what their particular issue is. Some are more cognizant than others, and you don't really know. And, you know, I think that able-bodied community is basically, we have these fears of the unknown. Everybody has the fear of the unknown. Excuse me, but when you're put into a situation with several people with disabilities or even just one-on-one, you don't know what their limitations are or what their abilities are, and so you're really fearful because you're afraid you might do or say the wrong thing, so people do nothing. Mm. And I want people to not be afraid, and I'll give you an example. It's really interesting. This happened to me on the way home from the premiere in Los Angeles, sitting in LAX, and a young man with disability, looked to be maybe like a cerebral palsy. I looked up from my phone, and I thought, oh, he's walked a long way, poor thing, to get his McDonald's. And as he passed by, his pants had sort of fallen down because his hands were full, but he had this huge backpack on his back, and that was weighing down, so it caused his pants to fall down enough that, you know, he was being exposed on the backside. And I looked around and I thought, wow, all these people. And so this one lady and I jumped up to try to help him and ask him if it was okay. And he said, oh, yes, thank you. And then he says, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. And I go, no, you're fine. It's an accident. It's no big deal. I mean, they're able-bodied people. I know when I'm going through the airport with all kinds of luggage and carrying things, sometimes I feel like my pants are going to fall off because you just can't reach down and grab them. But what I found interesting is that several people sitting in the area said, oh, yeah, we saw him walk that way, and he looked like that. And I'm thinking, you let him walk all the way down, and it was a long distance, to the McDonald's, without helping him? So I felt like, wow, we really need to find a better way to communicate with able-bodied people, communicating with people with disabilities, to get rid of that fear factor.
Wow. What do you think stands in the way of us doing that?
Because you're afraid of, people are afraid of looking foolish because they don't know what they don't know. And if they haven't been exposed, I can remember growing up, my mother would tell me, she would tell my brothers and I, don't be looking at that person in the wheelchair. Stop staring. It's rude. And what I've learned over the years, those people tell me, you know what, we would rather you come and ask us why we're in the wheelchair so that we're both comfortable.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
And I think that
people
we
get
as a
strange.
Society need to get there. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, people get strange and awkward, and sometimes people assume and put on a person more disabilities. Like, you know, when I was with some of my friends who were in wheelchairs but brilliant intellectually, people would come up talking loud to them and talking to them as, you know, like on a five-year-old level, you know, assuming there was something
mm-hmm.
wrong with them mentally. I mean, do you ever find that people start acting strange around the person
yes.
instead of just treating them normally?
Yes, because they don't know. And I'll give you an example. There are two young men that you see in the film that one day they came up to me at a rehearsal that we were filming and doing some interviews, and one was on one side of me and one was on the other side of me. one of them I know has cerebral palsy, but I didn't really understand what his cognizant level was at the time, and the other one I didn't really know what his situation was. And I didn't even know they were standing there, and then one of them said, we want to know how much screen time we're going to get in this documentary. And I was like, what? I had no idea that they even would think on that level. So I myself got a lesson that day, and I finally said, well, why do you ask? Well, you interviewed Joel, and I said, oh, were you wanting to be interviewed? Yes, we do. So I interviewed both of them. And so, you know, it was a lesson to me, myself, who exactly been around people with disabilities, to just come right out and ask somebody, you know, and if you don't want to ask the person because you don't want them to feel embarrassed, then ask one of their advocates. Ask somebody else that is, you know, knowledgeable about that particular individual so that you can feel comfortable and then you know how to actually approach them. So, I mean, I, as a filmmaker, every time I make a film, I learn a lesson. And with it, the course of disabilities, I know people think that it's come a long ways in raising the bar for people with disabilities to have great opportunities. In many ways, it's advanced, but in many ways, it hasn't. And that's really the reason for the documentary, is to say, hey, they're, you know, just because they're in a wheelchair, they're just like you are as an actor. They want to perform. They have that dream. I mean, you know, the opening of the film is that we all grow up wishing, hoping, and dreaming of something. Whether we're in a wheelchair, whether we have a disability or not, as much as we are different in that the aspect of disability versus able body, we all have dreams. So we are the same.
Mm-hmm.
How we achieve those dreams may be a different path.
Yeah, I really like how the film opens with the Walt Disney quote. And like he said, we can, you know, that when you wish upon a star isn't just pie in the sky. He really believed that, and he said that if we really go for our dreams, we can see them come true. Like the good book says, you can, the desires of your heart will come true. Delight yourself in the Lord, and you will, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. For someone out there, since we're on our last couple minutes here, that maybe they want to do something similar. Maybe they'd like to see this amazing healing, this amazing expression, and start a troupe a theater company of people that might not get a chance conventionally to have a safe place, no matter what mm-hmm. their disability, to act, to dance, to sing. What would you suggest they do to start it in, you know, towns across the U.S., wherever they might be listening
or the world? They certainly can go to simplymagical.com and send us an email there. We have a form there for them to contact us, and we can put them in contact with the right people that can, you know, help them, help facilitate that. We are working on a few things that, as a follow-up extension of the documentary, to actually do that. We're working to where we may be doing some auditions online for people wanting to audition in different cities across the country and even, you know, internationally, that they are able to maybe be the catalyst in their area to develop a magic moment in their city or state. So there's a lot of things going on, and we're not ready to really announce what those are yet, but we want to see, you know, if people are interested in this, we want to know about it, because we want to try to help you get from point A to point B. And if people are, you know, people want to help Magic Moments, they can go to magicmomentsinc.org. They can make a contribution there so that they can continue this work, because, you know, we've maxed out the capacity now of a 500-seat theater. And ultimately, we want to get to the point where we have a facility that's built that allows us to have more wheelchair participants and more walker participants, and give people that opportunity. So, you know, maybe instead of having one facility, we have several facilities across the nation that allow us to do that.
Now, the film itself, for those that want to see it, I know it's screened at the Lemley, but we're not quite there where it's seeable or on DVD or download, right?
We're not there yet, because we actually submitted to several film festivals across the country, and we're working with other organizations that support maybe various disability organizations like cerebral palsy or Down syndrome, to bring it to different cities so that we can spread the magic of this film. We're also working on sponsors to help us to get it in New York. There's a theater there that wants it in the theater. But it costs about $3,000 to do that for, you know, a long run in New York. So those are some of the things that we're trying to get to, because we want to raise the bar that allows people with different abilities, disabilities and some what people call, but we like to refer to it as they have different abilities. They can do it. They can do the same things that we can do. They just do it a little bit differently. And so those are the things that we're working to. There are reasons we obviously can't release it yet in DVD, because of the film festival circuit that we're trying to get some more momentum for the film, and then open on the East Coast and in some other cities.
Well, we're closing in now on our last minute. So if you're listening today and you want more information on this, go to simplymagicaldocumentary.com, simplymagicaldocumentary.com. And I'm getting my closing seconds here. So I want to let you all know, and thank you so much, Darla, for your heart and what you do in film. It's just so from the heart. Now, real quickly, for our upcoming shows, this Thursday, September 4th, at 11 a.m. Pacific time, for all of you Elvis fans, and it's going to be an amazing story. Ginger Alden, she was his fiance when Elvis passed. In fact, she found Elvis when he passed. Is finally telling her story after all these years of what it was like being with him, the final year of his life. And she's going to be here on Richard Rossi Live this Thursday at 11 a.m. She's just released a book about her memoirs about her relationship with Elvis. And I just dove into this book, and it just grabs you and doesn't let you go. It's such an interesting firsthand account. And quickly also, next Monday, September 8th from the great retro show that's now on reruns of MeTV, Gilligan's Island, the beautiful girl next door that everybody fell in love with, Marianne Dawn Wells, will be on our show next Monday, September 8th, 11 a.m. at Richard Rossi Live. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for your support of the show. You can share this link in perpetuity to hear a replay of the show, of today's show, or any of our shows. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/Richard Rossi. And I think there's a way that you can follow the show somewhere on the web as you're listening. There's a follow button, and you can click and follow, and that way you are always notified before anyone else of who our guests are on the show. Because there's just a lot of amazing, amazing guests that want to come on this fall and talk on Richard Rossi Live. So it's going to be an incredible series of shows, very inspiring to all of you. Well, God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for tuning in. Go with God and be blessed.